You're listening to The Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening Podcast Network. For more information, check out thedorkening.com.
Deadly Grounds Coffee knows how important your coffee is to you. Every batch is roasted to perfection with a unique special method that brings out the richest, deepest, smoothest flavor you'll ever find. We're coffee freaks too, and deadly serious about our brew. Just one sip and you'll know why we say, once you go deadly, you don't go back. It's truly coffee to die for. So when you're ready to get a little deadly, get online and order yours at getdeadly.com. It's coffee so good, it's scary.
Hey everybody, welcome to another Wicked Horror Reviews. I'm Kevin, and as always, I'm joined by...
The 13th Wolfman.
And today, we're talking Fear Street Part 2, 1978. So the last one we reviewed 1994. Now we're reviewing 1978. Word on the streets is the next one's going to be 1666.
Word on the street, huh?
Yeah, word on the street. I heard it. Some guy told me. He's like, hey, you, the next one you're going to do is 1666. So here's a quick synopsis. Shadyside, 1978. School's out for summer and the activities at Camp Nightwing are about to begin. But when another Shadysider is possessed with the urge to kill, the fun in the sun becomes a gruesome fight for survival. So, we really liked the first one.
I really liked this one too.
Yeah, I did too. And it's funny because I really liked the first one, and I think I like this one more. That's why I'm really looking forward to 1666. I know, like Ryan from That Strange Show said that was his favorite one. But it just keeps getting better.
Well, that's the funny thing. It's like last week when we talked about 1994, I said that I saw a lot of people post on Facebook that, you know, their favorite was 1978. And I'm like, I don't know if you could do better. You know,
that's the thing, is this didn't have nearly as much on-screen gore. You know?
No.
It had like the axe scene. But that was pretty much it. Like everything else.
Yeah, but there were a few of those axe scenes.
Yeah, but it didn't show it. Like it showed the aftermath kind of deal. Yeah. Like there was only one where it was just like repeatedly axed to that. And well, there was a couple head removals in it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Shall I go ahead?
No, I'm going to say the same thing I said just like 2 seconds. I really, really like this. I like the setting. The camp supposedly is the same camp they used in the 1980 movie Little Darlings with Christy McNichol and Tatum O'Neill.
Oh, wow. I remember that movie.
Yeah, so do I.
Boy, do I ever. So do my knuckles. Anyways.
It was a good time. There were, again, me being me, there were a few times where either something was said that wouldn't have been around in 1978.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, the redhead, the girl from Stranger Things, Sadie, mm-hmm. Sadie Silk, she says something to young Nick Good, and she says, oh, so you chose to stalk me. And it's like, stalking wasn't called stalking in 1978. It was called harassing. It was called obsessing.
Well, was it though?
Stalking actually became a phrase in the 1990s.
Well, when was the Night Stalker?
Late 70s. Early 80s.
I'm just saying. I mean, but
no,
still.
No, that's a good... But I mean, stalking laws, honestly, when they first started to refer to it as stalking laws and stuff like that, that was like 1990. Then the little fat kid...
I don't know if I disturbed that you know that and why. Like, oh no, I was just following you before. Now it's 90s and now you, I'm yeah. stalking you. Yeah. Now I'm officially stalking you.
And then the little fat kid that's guarding the three people from the other camp in this color war thing.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, so does anybody want a water or a juice box? I'm like, it's 1978. If you got water, you got it from the tap or the hose.
Yeah. Well, maybe he just had a bucket with a ladle.
Exactly. And juice boxes weren't around until the 1980s.
You son of a bitch. The thing is, as soon as we're done, I'm going to have to fact check. And then I'll call you out. So if you watch 1666, you're like, oh, no, I don't know. They didn't use that kind of hay back then.
Here's the thing. It's like the difference between 1666 and 1978 is that I was around in the 70s.
And you were around 1666. Know? You're like, oh, no, they didn't have those kind of buckles. They only had moccasins back then. And,
That
guy was wearing Timberlands in the back. And 1666, I know for a fact that Loot song came out in 1667. So, you know.
As much as you want to believe, I'm not exactly that
old. Well, not exactly, but you're close. But anyways, so, yeah, this one, it starts off in... You know, it picks up where the first one left off.
Yeah, it kind of, when we were talking about it last week, we're like, well, how are they going to have this person and this person in it? And it basically, I suggested that the kid that was like really into
the
murders and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah, was going to be the one, telling a story. But it's that thing, but it's not him.
Right. But that's the thing is, so at the end of it, when you watch on Netflix, at the end of it, they do have like a little tease of the next one. And the other people, like they're in the new one, like the 1666, like as characters. Right. Like it's almost like...
Descendants.
Well, yeah, but yes and no. Because the girl from the first one, the main girl, like she's her, but when she looks at herself in the water, she's the girl who ends up being the witch. You know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's like, it's almost like she's her. Kind of deal.
That's cool.
Yeah. And even was it Gillian
Jacobs.
She's in, like, you see her in full garb and everything in the trailer, I believe. It was pretty cool. Like, you got to see, because there's a sheriff who's kind of like a schmo in the first one, and like you get to see him as a kid at the camp, you know. And the fact that Gillian Jacobs or whatever her name is, John Jacob Jingle Hammerschmidt, her older is the redhead in this one, and like they have a thing, you know, but then they're just not, they never go through with it because, you know, she's like, why are you just lying about this? Like it was pretty cool. And the way that she gets him back to the house and everything, you know, it was pretty great.
It was well thought out. One thing I got to bring up is the soundtrack.
Okay.
The soundtrack to this, you have a little bit of everything going on. I'm not a fan of disco, but they throw in some of that stuff in there too. You got Kansas, Carry On Wayward Son. You got Don't Fear the Reaper. You know, Carry On Wayward Son is one of the most crazy songs. I mean, there's a lot of breakdowns and a lot of transitions in that song.
Oh, yeah. Before you signed on, I was sitting here going through stuff on YouTube going... And it's like I watched it yesterday and it's still stuck in my head. But I don't know. My only nitpick is, they have this cassette deck, like this old 70s cassette deck that they're playing the song on, and they just hit the button, hold it down with a rock, but it sounds like it's through like a Bose sound system. And it's like, oh, come on, make it sound like shit. Like, make it sound like it's really coming through those speakers.
Yeah, they're supposed to be playing it. They're holding, they put the rock on top of the...
Yeah,
the
for the, speak, for the speak, yeah, for the, the, make an announcement.
For the mic.
Yeah, the microphone, yeah. And
for the PA system.
With this little like plastic, like red tape deck.
It basically looks like a toy tape deck, like something that you'd give and like a 7-year-old.
It basically was able to take that cassette and make it sound like they were playing it live in the studio right there. And even like, I mean, it's one thing to do it in that room, but then when you show the speakers and stuff like that, have it sound like it's coming through a speaker.
Yeah, you know? It's true.
Because that's the thing is like, because I think they did it right in that the movie Wet Hot American Summer, and then the spinoff of that. They did it, and I respected that. I was like, oh, that's really how it would have sounded. It would have sounded like crap, you know?
Yeah.
But that's the only thing that I didn't like. And again, it was just like, oh, they could have done that, just put a filter on it. I'm like, let's get back to the awesome, you know? And there was, like, so many things that were just, like, gross and, like, I don't know. And I think the one thing that I think Angel said, we were talking a bit about him, after the show on Thursday, and he said that the only thing he didn't like was, you know, when we were, you watch Meatballs and stuff like that, you watch like old camp movies or even just old horror movies, and even though there's like sexualized stuff in it, it doesn't go as far as it goes in this. It's like, these are supposed to be like teenagers that are like in high school and they're banging, you know? But that's the thing. But that's the thing, is it's like, kids are going to watch this, and it's, I mean, they're minors in the movie. They're not adults. So in theory, that's wrong. You know what I mean? Because it's, you shouldn't be seeing what you're seeing with a kid who's that young. Like, yeah, maybe like a kiss, or maybe like thoughts of it, or like, you know, in like movies like Meatballs, where it's just like, you know, like awkward and just weird. And you walk into one of the cabins and there's just two people going at it, but they're literally supposed to be in like high school and they're underage. So him being a father and having younger kids that like horror movies, it doesn't come across good. You know what I mean? When their kids
I guess.
Which I mean, I don't have kids, but so it was interesting to hear that from him, you know?
Yeah, that take on it.
Right. But he still absolutely loves them. And actually the one kill that was our favorite kill in the first one, he actually said that so far is his favorite kill of 2021. Like of any movie he's seen, the one in the grocery store. But I have no idea what we gave the first one for a rating.
I gave it a 7.5.
I think I did too.
Yeah.
So you want to get into ratings?
Yeah, I actually like this a little bit better than the first one. The thing I liked about this was I got sucked. In the first one, you're just going along for the ride.
Yeah.
It's kind of like an overview. You're just kind of like, okay, I'm watching this through their eyes, and this is what's happening. Whereas in this one, I'm sucked into the story. We've got a diary. We've got caves. We got
that weird moss. That weird moss. The giant like heart that's just beating in the ground. Like,
yeah, exactly. The beating heart in the ground. You have all this really, you know.
And then on visual top of that, you have Ziggy, that's like getting tormented, and you just want to see her get revenge. And
true,
you know, the first one, there were some people that you disliked from time to time, but I legit wanted people to get killed. Like there was some people I was like, oh, I can't wait for them to die. You know?
Yeah.
And then there was that one guy. There's one guy that's in this that he's been on the I'm like, he's obviously older now, but I was like, I know him from a lot of things. Let me find him.
You talking about Gary?
Yep, Gary. He's been on Superstore. He's been in like,
He's been in everything.
Stranger Things. He was in the Halloween from 2018. But yeah, he's been. Because he's such a unique looking guy.
He really is.
Yeah, but he's awesome. Like
he stands really, out. That's totally, the other thing.
Yeah, and I was like, hey, it's that guy. Like, so I have a feeling. I mean, this guy will be. We'll see him the rest of his career. I'm sure it'll be
right.
He's in awesome stuff and he's great. So,
yeah. So as I was saying, yeah, they got me sucked into this thing. They got me, you know, wanting to read this diary and thinking, well, when this comes out, you know, I'm thinking like 10 years ago when you know they used to put out like specialty Blu-rays and whatnot. I'm like, if this was to come out, would you get a copy of the, you know, the
diary? That would be cool. That would be cool. Like
or something like that.
Like actually like. Because I have like the Bram Stoker's Dracula that's in a book. Like it'd be cool if it was a book, like a release that it was like the diary like with the discs, or even if they did that is all three of them in there, you know, with the diary.
But yeah, so I like this a little bit better. The music helped out a lot in this. Again, you got Kansas,
it was appropriate time wise, right? Because you had problems with the first one.
Dude, there were so many that were like that. The songs came out after '94. It was just funny.
Hmm.
But yeah, Carry On Wayward Son was huge. Don't Fear the Reaper, Cherry Bomb by the Runaways.
Yes, that song is. I love that song. Like I always forget about it, but then when I hear it, I'm like, oh, that song's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always whenever I hear it though, I'm always like, oh my god. The Runaways were around for 5 years, and they put out like 2 to 3 albums.
Mm-hmm.
They have more than just the one song.
Right, but still, like that's a great song. I mean,
this is the song that everyone knows, but they did have
other
stuff.
Then whenever I hear it, I always think, oh, Joan Jett, oh, Lita Ford. Like, and just look at where their careers went afterwards, and it's like...
Yeah.
And actually, I think the bass player is like a lawyer. She was on Jeopardy and won a ton of money.
They went through a buttload of bass players.
I mean, the one, like, there was photos that I saw. Like,
I know.
When I searched for it, it was the bass player that was in all those photos. And, yeah. And she was on Jeopardy, and she was, she's a lawyer.
You're right. No, yeah. That was Vicky, but they also had Jackie Fox, who was a bass player who was in a lot of photos. And one of the bass players that started out with them went on to play with the Bengals.
Hmm.
As the permanent Michael Steele,
hmm.
You know, and in between there, they went through something like 15 bass players because it was like the one thing that, I mean, it was a lot of personality.
Yeah.
This, you know,
well, that's why people out there should be bass players, because everyone's looking for them. But anyways,
yeah. So I'm going to give this 8.5. I'm a whole full step above.
All right. I'm going to give it, one. I'm going to give it an 8. So like, I liked it. I mean, I liked them both. Yeah. If I gave the last one a 7.5, I'm giving this one an 8. And so yeah, I mean, so far so good. And 1666. Yeah,
I'm looking forward
to
1666.
Yeah, so I might actually check that out today,
because we talked to Tony after the Tuesday show,
mm-hmm.
and Tony was saying, yeah, I mean, he didn't want to give anything away, he didn't want to ruin it for us, but he was saying that he didn't really care for 1666 because it was a little too into the.
Well, no, that's not what he said. He said that. He said that he normally doesn't like that time period.
That's right.
But he was surprised at how much he liked it, considering that it takes place in the time period that it takes place, and he doesn't like the old witch stuff and, like, you know, that kind of stuff. And but he said that it was, you know, it was really good considering, you know. And then other people like Ryan said it's his favorite, you know. So I'm just curious. I mean, I'm sure we're going to like it. I'm just wondering if we're going to like it the most or what. But the one thing I hope that they make more. Like, go to a different story and make more. Like, I know they're based off of actual R.L. Stine books called Fear Street. So I don't know how many more there is, but that would be awesome.
He put out quite a few. This was... The Fear Street books were basically for teenagers.
Right.
Whereas
but I'm saying I don't know, like, I don't know if it's like how many Fear Street books there are. I know there's a shit ton of Goosebumps books, but I don't know how many Fear Street books there are. So, I mean, that'd be awesome. I mean, and obviously it's getting, you know, good responses from people when people are liking it. So, yeah, I don't know. So, Wolfie, where can people find you?
You can find me at YouTube, the 13th Wolf Band, Twitter at the 13th Wolf Band, Tumblr, 13th Wolf Band, The Prowl. Every Sunday, not every Sunday, my God.
Jesus Christ, what are you, new?
Doing the Wicked Horror Reviews with Kev, and always putting something new up on YouTube.
Jesus Christ. Stop reading and trying to, like, at the same time.
There are 17 Fear Street books.
All right, well, hopefully there'll be 17 movies. Although maybe this was just one. Who knows? One book. But you can find me, A Knuckle, on Instagram every Tuesday night live on Facebook and YouTube with The Wicked Horror Show. And then doing the reviews with Wolfie, obviously. And then I'm also part of Black and White Fright and Secret Underground Hideout, all of which are on the Dorkening Podcast Network. Go to thedorkening.com for more information there. Thanks for listening. And if you haven't watched Fear Street yet, highly recommended. And yeah.
What are you waiting for?
Yeah. Well, next week we're going to be talking about 1666, so better watch them all before then. You know what I'm saying? Because we're going to ruin it for you. Man, see? And then, you know, we can give it as a overall score,
a combination
for the trilogy. But
yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, and goodbye.
What he said.